Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible, it'll tell you what to do. Be not weary, in doing well, for in due season, you're gonna reap. Yeah. Say, be not weary.
Good morning. My name is Gray Bunn, and I am 11 years old. You're listening to Free on the Inside, my papa, Digga Joel Lewis.
Hello, welcome once again to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Brother Joel Lewis, as stated by Young Gregory Bunton, and you are listening to the best internet program in the Metroplex. I would like to say in the country here, because we come to you each week with ministries and programs that's making a difference, that's affecting the lives of the believers and the non-believers. We'll bring ministry to the forefront that's out there, that's in the trenches there, that's making a difference. If you log on to this program, you'll see our slogan that says, help change your life. But I like to say, help change your life in Jesus' name. For one plants and one waters, but God and only God gives the increase. This is our third program for this year here, and we're excited about what's going on in the life of the community. And we want to stay focused on the community because, you know, the community is a valuable thing. You know, as we look around, we see the landscape is being devastated by all manner of things. But then we that are restored can make a difference. And I'd love to bring to you this morning Minister Michael Fleming from Zion Chapel Church. They're located in the Metroplex, and he's going to come on and he's going to share with you some things that are dear to his heart and some things that his church is doing in the life of the believers. Good morning, Minister Fleming.
Good morning, Brother Joel. Glad to be with you.
Well, God bless you. Thank you for being on. I'm excited to have you on here. And, you know, you're no stranger to our program, so give us an update of what's going on. And also let us know what's happening currently, because I received some emails and text messages from you about what your church is doing. And I'm very pleased and proud of what you're doing, and I'm happy to be a part of that. So share that with our listening audience.
Well, I'd be more than happy to. And first of all, let me say that the job that you're doing through this broadcast is significant, because you know God's word says that His people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, and the Bible is all about God communicating to us about Himself, who He is, and who we are, and what we have through Him to be a people of power and victory. And when programs such as yours are able to provide a forum for churches and individuals, those who are really concerned about advancing the kingdom of God, it becomes a critical piece in the process of empowerment. So, you know, I just thank God that you're doing what you're doing, that you're faithful in your call, and that it enables us to know that we're not alone, that there are other churches and other faith-based organizations and individuals who are committed to the cause of Christ and are actually making a difference in the lives of people. So we're just one cog, one part of a bigger picture here in the Metroplex area. And so, again, I'm just extremely grateful to be on your program this morning and to let those out there in our community know that we're trying to do something that will provide opportunities and to empower individuals and families so that they can live the abundant life that Jesus died for, so that we can be an enriched people. Okay. Now, obviously, I'm going to talk a little bit about our church, Zion Chapel Primitive Baptist Church in Lancaster, Texas. But I also want to acknowledge that we're just one of several churches that make up the Sinai District. And we're spearheading things from our particular location that's a part of, connected to activities in other churches, such as yours, Shady Grove, and many others. But I guess I'll start off by talking about what our mission is. And our mission is, in our church, is that we're wanting to reach out to what we call the forgotten and those who are hurting and wounded, underserved, and impoverished, and to bring them into the family of the household of God. And once we bring them into the household of God, we want to help them to enrich and deepen their faith through sound biblical teaching and preaching and studying, and then enable them to convert that wonderful knowledge that we gain through the Word of God to become empowered individuals and families, causing the creation of vibrant and productive communities that will radiate the grace and the mercy that God has extended unto us, so that the world will see our works and our light, and then ask us for the reason for our hope, and we can tell them about our Father and His precious Son, Jesus Christ. Now, there are many ways that we can reach individuals and families in the forgotten. And one of those ways is what we're doing when we partner with you and the Trinity Jail and Prison Ministry. When we reach out to what we call the forgotten ones, in the Bible they're called the outcast or the untouchable, the very people who Jesus himself came from glory when he stepped down, to reach out to these people, the ones that oftentimes were overlooked or were deemed as being unwanted and not worth the time or the investment to save. And so the jails and prison ministries and the street ministries are significant. There are a lot of souls out there who are in need of a touch of Jesus, but we have to position ourselves in such a way that they can reach us. And so through this radio program, the word gets out. But more importantly, this radio program sends out a beacon call that people will respond and then position themselves to see the needs and then to provide those provisions that Christ has given us for that express purpose. Okay? So one of the things that we're trying to do to help support the process of empowerment is through economic development, strengthening families, and then developing vibrant communities. And this morning, I'd like to talk about some of the specific initiatives that fall under those three particular categories. And I think it's pretty obvious that when we reach hurting and impoverished individuals and families, that the whole area of economic development becomes crucial, because it's hard to meet your own needs and the needs of your families and to contribute towards the ministry if you're broke. Is that not right, Brother Joe?
That's so true. That is so true.
Yeah. So we have to really put our heads together and look at what kinds of things can we do that will help us to become more of a participant within our economic system. How do we do job creation? And when we create jobs or when we are giving access to jobs, how do we position ourselves so that we can be more competitive in obtaining those jobs and then sustaining them? So we've been looking at that over the last year, and we've identified a couple of initiatives that we think are necessary to make that come about. And one is what we call work readiness. Oftentimes people lack the necessary knowledge and what we call preliminary skills and abilities to function in jobs. As we work closely with employers in the Metroplex, you know, conducting surveys and asking questions, there's one particular message that consistently rings out, that people not necessarily lacking the ability to do a particular job or task, but they're lacking the basic knowledge and what we call the knowledge and skills that comes from elementary and secondary schools in reading, writing, and arithmetic. And so employers are concerned that they're seeing more and more applicants who don't possess basic math skills, basic reading and writing skills, and lack necessary skills for effective communication. And so one of the things that is happening across the country has been the coming together, and when I say coming together, I'm talking about the powers that be, and especially in terms of businesses and corporations, where they have agreed upon some national readiness skills that can be certified, which communicates that this person possesses what used to be the norm, the abilities and skills necessary to be able to read and to understand what you read on the application, a little job test, and so forth, and perform basic or minimal mathematical computations.
Now, Mike, before you go any further, what age bracket are we talking about when you're saying that they're unable to obtain and be able to understand what's going on here? Because we are talking about the ones that are re-entering society from a jailed state or they're homeless or what? Do we have that numbers about?
The information that we've ascertained in looking at this and working with some of these businesses is that it covers the gamut, man, from our youth through the youth initiative employment programs all the way up to adults, and not just the people who are forgotten and who are transitioning back from corrections. We're also talking about a large percentage of what we call the worried well of the walking wounded, and these are ordinary citizens who have not suffered from homelessness or incarceration, but are simply lacking basic skills. You know, with the advent of technology today, people have become dependent upon, you know, the technology for doing basic computation and mathematical activities and so forth. And the science is indicating that as wonderful as the technology is, it also has its downside. And one is that it can result in us becoming intellectually challenged, where we're not used to having to sit down and utilize the God-given talents that we have. And, you know, for those of us who are Bible thumpers, you know, in the book of Psalms 139, David says that he was fearfully and wonderfully made, which speaks of what God has given us. He's given us a mind that has the capacity, even though it may be limited, to be creative, to solve complex problems in the creation of things. We were made in his image. One of the things that we imagined and created, again, was the technology. And that's good, but it also has its challenges if we're not careful. So we have a wide range of people, according to the reports and statistics, who are having difficulty performing basic, what we used to call basic skills in the area of reading, writing, and arithmetic, filling out the application. Most jobs today require that you go through some type of a test or simulated exercise in order to determine if you possess what is necessary to actually perform the job. And people are failing. Employers are having high rates of turnovers. Anytime you have a turnover in your particular place of employment that exceeds 15%, something is wrong either with the hiring or screening process, or something is wrong with the basic prerequisites that individuals are in possession in order to be able to perform the job test. So they created this organization, this national organization, that's called the National Career Readiness Certification Program. And it's based on certain skill buildings. Again, getting back to reading, writing, and arithmetic. So the question is, what's happening with our schools? Because supposedly, these things are what we acquire in the early stages of our educational learning in elementary school, and then middle school, and then ultimately high school. But something is happening. Obviously, within the African-American community, we know it has to do with the high percentage of dropouts among young African male and Hispanic youth, where you have almost 50% of our young males dropping out of school by the ninth grade. So that means you're not possessing those basic skills. So, but you're trying to enter into the workforce. When you can't enter into the workforce, then you don't possess the resources to acquire the things that you and your loved ones need, which results in, we know, the pursuit of alternative paths that represent criminal activities and cause us to be overly represented in the criminal justice system. So
that is so true. That is so true. Now, what mechanism have your ministry and your program that you have attempted to put in place to offset what we just discussed?
Well, one of the things we've done is that we've taken those guidelines that were developed by the National Career Readiness Program, and we've developed three separate components and the curriculums to go with that. That's the work readiness training, where we provide the educational services needed to teach math, reading, and writing. We have what we call the NCRC skill building components that covers everything from writing resumes, how to dress, what to anticipate doing job interviews, communication skills, how to be able to make sure that the message received was the message that was sent or intended. And then what we call job maintenance skills, that it's one thing to get the job. Now, the next thing is to keep the job. And so all of those require a certain level of information, knowledge, and then the perceived ability to implement or utilize that knowledge. And then the third component that actually helps us to determine whether or not you have in your possession the information and the ability to appropriately use it is the certificate assessment program, where we actually present an assessment or a test to gauge the level of information retention and your ability to apply it. And if you pass that, then you receive a certificate. And that certificate communicates to employers that you've met some minimal standards and are in possession of basic life skills that will enable you to be able to compete and possibly be able to perform the job in which you're applying for. Hopefully, our certification program, and we're in negotiation right now, will be part of the system that's being utilized by the Texas Workforce Commission, because they will designate agencies and organizations as key points and players for this ongoing training. Much of the training right now is being done within the Texas Workforce Commission itself. But they, as many other state agencies, are looking at how do we deploy and make these services more readily accessible and available to those who are needed. And we know that comes from empowering faith-based and community organizations who are at the closest point of service delivery. So that's one of the things that we're doing, and it's multifaceted. It's a big job, but it's not too big for God. You know, and so we're positioning ourselves and our district to become a major player in being a job center where people can come and know that they can gain access to the things necessary to prepare them to enter into the workforce. And, you know, it's not going to get any easier, Joe. You know, we talk about the 21st century. We're really into the 22nd century where the jobs of yesterday are no longer available, where you go into a job where you don't have to have a whole lot of knowledge and abilities. Almost everything today is technologically driven that requires more skills and abilities. And anytime you increase in skills and ability, that means you have to increase in knowledge. And so we're not doing it. And that's why a lot of our jobs also were being outsourced, because education has a high value in some of the emerging markets in those countries that are what we call the developmental stage. But as they increase in knowledge and abilities, they're demanding increase in pay, which is causing the transition of jobs back into our country. Now, we need to be ready to take advantage of those opportunities when they present themselves. And I think, you know, being involved in the WorkKeys National Career Readiness Certification Program is a major step in that direction. And
hey,
we become
so
part
true.
Of something local. Right.
Yeah.
Something
we have
national.
We have a couple of callers online here. We're going to take a moment here and just bring them into it and see if they would like to chime in on what you discussed. Because there's a lot more to this here than what you shared with us. So we're going to bring you back in here and just give us some further insight on what's going on.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Daniel.
Hey, how you
good
doing?
Good morning, Mr. Daniel. You're on the net. Hey, how you doing?
All right. Doing fine today.
Well, great. We have Michael Fleming's on the line here discussing his community project over at a church that's located in the Lancaster area, Zion Chapel, and a community initiative program. And I'm excited about what he's sharing. Have you had a chance to listen to much of the program this morning?
Yeah, I listened a little bit of it. I think
okay.
It's great for him to get those people and try to improve their attitudes and their aptitudes, you know, because really, if you want to hold a job, you really have to be capable in order to do the demands that the job wants you to do. And a lot of people, they don't really have the attributes to hold down these positions, and they get kind of offended when they have to take these placement tests. But placement tests are made really to really, control, you know. You have to take tests. Tests are mandatory in almost every other job you try to, you know, apply for, you know. So, you know, there's no one way around it. And I think it's great for him to try to make the people, you know, just prepare themselves for what's going to happen to them in the work world.
And that is so true. That's so true. We're going to bring him back on in a few minutes. But I was just thinking about that, even if you wanted just a simple job at a McDonald's, Home Depot or Lowe's, you have to go online and fill out the application. There's no more of this face-to-face interviews up until they get to the point of wanting to hire someone. So there's several skills levels that you have to develop on pursuing a job. And he hit on a key point there. After you have been offered a job, then you have to have skills to be able to keep the job. So we wanted to touch bases on that. We're going to bring him back in, and then we're going to continue to ask you to listen in, and we're going to bring you right back.
Okay.
Michael.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You hit on some key points a while ago, and I just want you to just share more of that there, because as you're developing this job readiness program, I like that, man, because I didn't attend some of them back in my younger days, and I know the value of them, and I know that that people have to have a desire for these things. You can present it to them, but they have to work towards it, and that's a good thing there. But as they develop in either, you saying that they get a sense of accomplishment by receiving a certificate of completion that they can put in their own portfolio, to showing that, hey, I am capable of finishing a task. And I like that. I like that.
Exactly. And your caller, Brother Daniels, he hit on a critical point, that attitude is everything. Okay? You know, as a man thinketh, so is he. That the greatest hurdle is to overcome self, our own perceptions, our own beliefs. One of the things that I'm aware of, and that has, I've also been guilty of at times in my life, is the tendency to overestimate our abilities to do things, okay, and to underestimate the situations and circumstances that confront us, that challenge us. And those two together can be very self-defeating. And so it is necessary that when you're attempting to do anything productive and positive, that the first thing you have to do is sit out and assess one's own attitude, okay, and belief systems, because beliefs have consequences. They can empower you to overcome great obstacles, or they can cause you to stand still and not do anything because you don't believe that what you can do can make any difference in your life.
And you know that is so true. That is so true. That's the name of this program, being free on the inside, because we have so many things that we're facing and so many hurdles that we have to overcome. But if you don't have that sense of accomplishment that's embedded in you, man, you were already defeated. So you really said something, and you struck a chord with me regarding that matter. But, Mike, let's go on, man, because that's a lot of material we need to that I'd like you to share with us. Tell us about some other things that's associated with Zion Chapel that you're bringing to the forefront that our listeners need to hear about.
Well, in addition to job creation, because as I said, that's economic development. You can't live in any system or society and not be impacted by the economy, which, you know, speaks of jobs and earned income and saving investments. Okay, but one of the other things that we're doing too is looking at a second component to job creation and employment. It's having the marketable skills, you know, that employers want. You know, one of the big issues right now is health care, you know, to the point that our government has passed legislation that mandates supposedly the availability of health services to the masses. At one point, we talked about as much as 6 to 8 million people who didn't have basic access to health care. So we know that is an area where the need is tremendous and where resources are being deployed. So how can that be converted into employment opportunities for our communities or underserved areas? Well, one is looking at what jobs are going to increase and what skills are necessary to obtain those jobs. And so healthcare, health aides, nursing aides, home health care aides, nursing home aides, especially with the baby boomer generation entering into retirement, and that's one of the largest group of people approaching retirement age in the history of this country. So if we can become one of the state's certified sites for what we call state-approved CEUs, or continuing education units, people in the healthcare field, as in other fields such as engineering and so forth, as an example, are required to have so many continuing education units each year or biannually, every 2 years, in order to renew their license or certification and to keep it. And so they're always looking for places to go that are accessible where they can get those accredited units to maintain their certification or license for employment. So if we are one of those designated sites, then we can provide that training and that education to a certain segment of our community, making them job ready. And so we see that as a part of our what we call our community employment initiative and partnership program with Health and Human Services. We just signed a contract or a memorandum of understanding with Health and Human Services to become one of their community partners, where we provide on-site assistance within the community for the application process to enable people to be able to apply for, identify, and determine what kinds of benefits they are available for through the Texas Benefit Program, food, cash, and medical assistance, and so forth. And 80% of the individuals who are coming through seeking assistance through TANF and Medicaid, CHIP, the Comprehensive Insurance Program, and other entitlement services are single mothers who are head of households. And one of the things that the state does is require job training and orientation and then to invest the necessary time trying to gain employment so that they can progressively move through and out of the system and not develop a lifetime of dependency upon state aid. Well, if we can provide not only job readiness gear, but also if we can provide training and certification in the areas of what we call entry-level positions like home health aides, nursing home aides, mental health aides and technicians and so forth, then we can help some of those single mothers obtain skills and the certification that employers are looking for in what we call the 22nd century, which is the age of health and health services. So that's one of the things that we're looking at is providing an educational site, not only for those who are looking to maybe enter that field, but the number of healthcare professionals already in those areas, in our areas, who are looking for an additional place where they can go to find affordable continuing education units that will allow them to maintain their employability and so forth in the health field. Now, that community readiness program for the Health and Human Service Initiative is an important one because in the past, they've had to turn back tens of millions of dollars because of the underutilization of the entitlement program. And that happened by and large to the fact that people did not like the experience and having to go down to some state or county office, which isn't oftentimes geographically accessible for many of the mothers who lack transportation and who have child care service issues and so forth. Well, by partnering with community-based organizations, the state has now made it more accessible to the people who are in need. It's because these agencies and organizations are at the closest point of service delivery. They're in the community in which people reside. And churches and organizations such as ours who have child care services on site, that we have vans that we use for transporting our members and are also available to transport individuals and families who are in need of the services that we now provide, is that we have all the things that are necessary to address some of the obstacles that have hindered this particular population from accessing those services. So that's going to be a tremendous boom for individuals and families and for those communities. But it also portends well for the kingdom of God because I'm remembering the church of old in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, and the early 70s, where our churches like Ebenezer Baptist Church and many others, where the church was not only a place where people came to meet God and to be delivered from sin and damnation, but also it was a place of what we call education and empowerment an advancement in the areas of civil rights and prosperity. And so I'm excited about the Sinai District and our churches positioning ourselves to be a place, a center, where people can come and get not only the things they need for the life on the other side, but as Jesus said, that I want to bless you 30, 60, and 100-fold now, on this side, and the life to come. We've done an excellent job on the life to come, but sometimes we've fallen short on being a center, a place of resource and empowerment to access and avail themselves of the things they need to live the abundant life on this side that Christ died and made available for us. So that community initiative and that partnership program of Health and Human Service is a wonderful thing. And check this out, Joel. If we as a church and organization become a critical player in the field of feeding people, I'm reminded of a scripture where Jesus was teaching the multitudes. And he'd been doing it all day, so he was preaching. He had an all-day revival, and he had 12 ministers from other churches in other geographical areas. And at the end of the day, when the service was over with, the people were hungry and getting ready to return home. And one of the disciples says, yes, we need to send these people home because they've been here all day. They need to go eat. And Jesus said, no, you feed them. And they said, but we don't have nothing. Well, they didn't have enough because all they had was enough to feed themselves. But Jesus used a little boy with, what was it? You remember that story?
With the fish and the loaves. I'm listening, yeah.
With the fish and the loaves. Right. Right. And then he lifted it up and he prayed to the Father. He did that for the benefit of the people, and especially the 12 other ministers, to know that God can take the little that we have and increase it to meet the needs of the masses, his people. And so that's what this community health initiative and partnership with Health and Human Services portends for us, is that it will enable us to have a reason for people to come to our church looking for one thing, and in the process discover a greater and better thing. It's one thing to feed a person a fish every day, which is what the program and the partnership does. It's another thing to teach a man how to fish, and that's what God, through Christ and his church and his ministers, will do. Because
amen.
When they come,
as we can make change a life.
Exactly, and provide education, marital enrichment, couples communication, parenting classes, that we have a great deal of talent and educational potentials within our churches. But it's reaching people. We do that when we go out into the streets, and that's one group. But what do we do about the people who are not homeless and so forth, who are sitting in those houses around our churches every day in needs that we may or may not know about? And we have a service and resources that they may or may not know about. So when the
so
state begins
so
to... Right.
You know,
so my, that's powerful.
That is. And you know what? You was touched on something there. And we're going to bring this up, and I really enjoy this here because it's something that's dear to my heart. It's your community garden. I know that your church, along with other churches and other established ministries are developing the community garden, and it's something that's where they come. We collect a lot of land, but we just let the land sit there, and that's you know, and those things could be used for the betterment of God's people.
Yeah, well, I'm a little country boy. You know, my folks are from a little town called Prescott, Arkansas, which is about 44 miles east of Texarkana, in between Hope, Arkansas, watermelon capital of the world, and Arkadelphia, a little small town with less than 40,000 people, but two universities, Henderson State University and Wichita. And Arkansas is called the land of opportunity because of its natural resources. And its natural resources is that it has the potential to produce from the land. The first thing that God did when he made man was place him in a garden, the Garden of Eden. And in it was everything that man, Adam, needed. And God gave him a command: cultivate and care for it. Cultivate means to discover what is inherently embedded in the land around you, and then develop it, create, and then care for that which you have cultivated and created. And so that struck us as being powerful, because God says, I've given you every tree, green tree and herb for your edification. That means for your medicinal uses, for your betterment. Well, we have advanced to the point where that farming and things pertaining to the land have become, in the minds of many people, unimportant. But I can tell you this, there is no pharmaceutical except for synthetics that are made that doesn't come from the land, from the green plants and herbs. There are no food that we eat except for the chemically induced and man-made stuff that doesn't come from the land. So no matter what we do and how advanced we get technologically, and no matter how much we build in concrete and steels, we'll never improve and never increase the abundance and availability of the resources to meet our needs that God embedded in the land. So we've come up with a program called the Garden of Eden's Urban Community Gardening and Farming. And that's looking at taking the underused and underutilized and non-used resources, our land, and convert those into urban gardens and farms. And what it does is several things. One, it helps us to discover the creative abilities and the joy with working with our hands and creating something and seeing and rediscovering the process of making something and producing something and seeing it grow and developing the patience and the discipline necessary for that to happen. To get away from this microwavable age of society where we want everything instantly and the transfer of our resources from our hands into those who control the land and produce stuff that we pay this ungodly amount of money to obtain in insufficient quantities. So why don't we become producers again instead of consumers?
Mike, that is so true. Now, how important it is to get our young people involved in something like this? Because as they're being drawn by other things, it's very important to get our young people, because we realize that sometimes our young people don't even know where things come from. But if they see a sense of seeing what these things are developing and taking ownership, and who knows what seed that we're planting as a people that may harvest through our young kids because being a part of something like that.
I'm laughing because I remember a conversation I had with some young kids, some young children, and I'm talking about early intervention. I'm talking about three, four, five, six, seven. And these were a couple of kids that's in our daycare, Z kids over at our church in Lancaster. And I asked them, where do fruits, apples and bananas, because we serve fruits and vegetables, come from? And their response was, from the store. From the store, from Menards, from Safeway. And it really struck me that we have a generation that has grown up and only know what their eyes have seen, and that's stores, and don't know that the stores have to get it from someplace. So it's critical for our children to not only know that God provides all these things, and they're already here, and that He has equipped them to be able to do what they think only certain people can do. Our children are growing up with a defeated mentality and attitude, thinking that they have to look to somebody else to create and do, when they have the same God-given talents to become entrepreneurs.
And ability.
And that process begins at an early age. Man, I'm telling you, when you go out of this country, and I've done that, when you go to some of our third world countries, their children have a totally different perspective on life. Because those kids in places like Africa and other parts of East and the Middle East and Europe grow up like we used to do in this country. When you were 3 and 4 and 5, you had a job on the farm. there was something you did. It was carrying the bucket to slop the hogs. It was taking a bag of corn to feed the chickens. If it was helping to pick peas and then come in and shell them. And so our children grew up knowing, having this genosis, this knowledge, and that they possessed the ability to utilize it. And so we were more ready to meet the challenges of life when we left our homes. Today our children are lacking that. This yes. garden initiative will help them to rediscover that. It will also cause children and families to come together because it provides an opportunity for them to have a shared project. Today, if you're working as a parent, then the bulk of your hours are spent somewhere else physically and developing working relationship with someone else other than your children. And then you come home and you do other things. Or on weekends when you're off, you know, we go to the movies and we go to the mall or we sit in front of the TV. And we don't cultivate our relationships by having shared projects that produces mutual joy and benefit. But it also helps to meet a real need. Because south of I-30, we are lacking in the availability of fresh fruits and vegetables. We don't have no major urban markets south of I-30 like you have north of I-30, okay? And so we have food banks that provide, you know, dried products, but no fresh vegetables and fruits. Our availability comes from Menards and Safeway and Walmart. Okay? And I don't care what you say, that is not fresh. The time it takes to cultivate it, the shipping, and so on and so forth, is fresh in terms of another store and the time it takes to get it to the market. But fresh is when you go pick it right out of the garden, and I grew up doing that. So
yes,
it's happening. Schools across, not just the country, here in the Metroplex are doing this, and churches. And what we're trying to do is to organize it and make it more of a collaborative, planned initiative. Okay? Where
Mike,
families
can, yeah, that's so true. That is so true. Hey, I know what you're saying, as families can come together and work in unity, and that way God gets the glory. Now, before we end this program here, because we only have a few more minutes left, let's talk about the program
that's
coming up here on the 27th of this month, which will be Monday.
Share
us some insight on that.
Right. Let me just mention this one thing, because I don't want to leave these people out because they're critical. And that's Cedar Valley Community College. And, you know, I'm working with a wonderful individual out there, and that's Dr. Winbush. She's the president. And they just received an enormous amount of money for community gardening and to develop a program on campus that will provide the laboratory resources and the technical assistance for what we call green sustainability and green resources. So they are a critical player, and they'll become a hub where we can have access to the technical expertise and the resources as they develop a curriculum and a department that will produce people who are capable of assisting us and coordinating and organizing that. So I just want to make sure we understand that our colleges are an important piece of that, okay? On Monday, not this Monday, the 27th, through our district, Sinai District for the Primitive Baptist Churches, we're sponsoring a citywide community outreach program for Model Mission, okay? And it is one of our annual programs that is put on by our district association. And each year, one of the churches hosts and sponsors that particular Model Mission, and it focuses on a particular area. Last year, the Model Mission was focused on our youth programs and services. This year is focused on two areas that deal with what we call the forgotten. One is the jail and prison ministry, which yours truly, you, Joel, will be speaking on. And the other is the street ministry, which I will address. And both of those initiatives will provide information on the need and then share ideals and things that can be done to more effectively design and then to implement programs that will be attractive to both of those populations and that will engage them to the level that they not only come to know Christ, but come to know what Christ has made available for them to rise above the situations and circumstances that has defeated them to the point that they are in jails and prison or on the street homeless. So
that is a
wonderful thing, right? And I'm looking forward to spending time with you in that setting, doing what you and I spend most of our time every day and every week doing. So I'm inviting people to come out. And so not only do you hear what we're doing, but that we can also hear what you're doing and hear what suggestions and ideas you have that may help us to make the necessary modifications and develop a better means and a better vehicle for reaching the unforgotten and those who are hurting and who are lost and in need of shepherds. Okay?
That's good. Now, give us the location and time again so our listening audience can get a sense of what's going on and they can make themselves available.
Well, location is 1000, which is 004 North Jefferson Avenue. That's in Lancaster, Texas. It is, if you're familiar with Lancaster, it is one block east of Dallas Avenue and one block north of Pleasant Run Road. Okay? And the phone number is 972-218-9789. And you can contact me at 214-900-4179. And time is 7:30 p.m. That's Monday, January 27th, 7:30 p.m. The citywide model of Mitchell.
All right. We're looking forward to being a part of that and seeing what God is doing over at that church and the life of the community. Before we let you go, we have another call on the line that may just want to give you some compliments and words of encouragement regarding what y'all are doing. And also may make their way over to where you are. Mr. Daniel.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for holding on there. We're about ready to wrap up this interview here with Brother Fleming's here that has got to sharing with us a whole wealth of and information here. We pray that you have been blessed by what you had heard. Do you have any comments or thoughts prior to him getting off this program?
Yeah, you know, I heard him talk about the kids and not knowing about where all the food and stuff come from. And, you know, I've been having some thoughts about how we would be able to exist in this world if we didn't know how to just go back to God and ask him to give us a blessing. You know, we all depended on people to give us something without knowing that we have to know that everything that's come in the world comes from God. In fact, you know, that's a part in the Bible that you're supposed to let the land rest for 7 years before you plant food. You know, and we're not doing that. And sometimes I wonder if that's what's happening with all our, you know, food sources and everything's coming up looking bad and disease and stuff coming up because we are, you know, in total disability with God.
Yes, yes. So true. You know, so true.
Hey, man, thank you for those comments there. Okay, I'm sorry there, Brother Daniel. As we get ready to wind down, you got one other statement?
Just that our youth should be advised and known that really, if we keep living like this, you know, we're going to get in the bad. We already are in the bad eyes of God if we don't straighten up. And it comes from obeying your parents and burning the people that have authority over you. And basically, if you put it in a nutshell, that's what it's about.
Amen. It's
so true. God bless you. Brother Daniel, just hold on here. We're going to let Brother Flemings close out on us, and then we'll just come back. Yes, sir.
Michael, go ahead. Brother Daniel is just on point. You know, Israel went into the Babylonian captivity 70 years, and they did that for every Sabbath rest for the land that they failed to honor. So their demise, their fall, had to do with failure to understand the importance of the Sabbath rest for the land, because it was in the land that God has given us everything we need. For as the rain and snow fall from the heaven and will not return until it gives seed to the sower, that he may have bread to eat, so shall my word not go forth from my mouth and return unto me void. That land and nature bears witness to the divine nature of God. And to dishonor the land is to dishonor God. Okay? And the problem we have in this country is that there are a few people who have taken control of the abundant land and determined what resources are going to grow, artificial insemination of vegetables and plants in order to grow Hulk-like, super-sized vegetables and fruits, that introduce chemicals and so forth to our children that hurt them mentally and physically and obviously spiritually. So Brother Daniel is right on point. Amen.
You know, as we get ready to end this here portion of the program with you, we want to thank you. And we'll just plug in this record that says, "It Takes a Whole Nation." I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing, how you're on the forefront of changing the lives and changing the community and perhaps changing the country. Thank you for what you're doing. Hey, I'm looking forward to seeing you on the 27th at 7:30 for our Mission Day, Citywide Mission a program that's hosted over at your church, Zion Chapel, that's located at 1000 North Jefferson in Lancaster, Texas.
Amen.
God bless you. Enjoy your day, and we'll be talking again offline here, and I'm excited about what you're doing. Again, give us the time and setting before we let you go regarding our program for the 27th.
Monday, January 27th at 7:30 p.m. Come join us.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you very much, and we'll be talking to you later. Oh,
right,
what a great interview there. What a great interview with our dear brother here.
Thank you.
Amen. Brother Daniel. As we get ready to wind down, man, we got a little music in the background, but we're going to use that as our closing. So do you have a poem for us today?
Well, I really don't, Steve. I don't have one today for us, but I want to leave a thought on your mind.
Okay.
Really, you have to think about what direction we want to go in for 2014. God has left upon us to learn and teach people and tell them that basically we got to straighten up. That's the thing for this year. Straighten up your act.
That is. I could go for that.
Straighten up and fly right.
Yes. Yes, sir. That is so well spoken. And that is something that we need here as we talk about help changing a life, brother. You know, people will read us before they read what we have to share with them. I come on this program each and every week, but if I'm not doing it the right way, people going to say, hey, what is this all about? So we pray that what we're doing, and that people can see that this is God's spirit, not so much as myself or you, but this is God. And we Brother Daniel, I want you to share what you heard today, man, with people in ministry and programs, and let them know that they're not alone. There's other people in ministry that are attempting to do what they want to do, that is doing what they're doing.
Amen. Well, you know, I go out in the community. I go out, I look at a lot of people, and I look at their faces, and I look at the faces that they look like they don't have hope. They don't have a direction to go in. And it seems like they figure like there's no more, there's nothing to live for. But I'm telling you, there's no more. Stephen Emmett is your savior. And you, everything else will fall into place.
That is so true, bro. We get ready to get out of here, man. We want to thank you for being our co-host, and we're excited about you calling in each and every Saturday morning when you have when you're available, man. Because we know that God is doing things, mighty things in your life and your family. And I'm looking forward to sharing this part of the program with you each Saturday morning. And we're gonna have a great show this upcoming year. And what you have said is to straighten up and fly right. Thank you, my brother.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Daniel, Heavenly Father.
Herself.
Go ahead.
Go to school, Majority. Yeah.
Hey, man. Well, God bless you, then. I'll tell you what, I'm going to touch bases with you offline on that and keep doing what you're doing. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. The Lord, if we get ready to wind down this program, we thank you for the guest that came on, Minister Michael Fleming, dear Lord, and we thank you for the information that he shared with our audience. We pray, dear Lord, that they fall up on fertile ground, dear Lord, that the people to get a sense that you're up to something. They have a sense to be a part of what you're doing. They get a sense that they, too, can change a life in Jesus' name. Dear Lord, thank you for what you're doing. We pray these in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Oh, man.